listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media that's dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this live broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat on the emotionalpro.com radio page, or to call us on our toll-free number, 800-630-7858, and you can ask your questions directly of our guests. When I was a single parent to my growing children, I was concerned about what I could equip them with that would allow them to stay balanced and make good decisions when they went out into the world, away from me and the guidance I could give them. I determined that this needed to be something they had inside of them, something to which they could turn as an anchor. It had to be something that would work in a variety of situations, was dependable and strong and so familiar they could bring it up in seconds when they needed it. And what I chose was principle. In these times of enormous transition and upset in the world, many of us are feeling like children growing up. As our economic institutions turn upside down, our churches rock with scandal, and even our earth threatens our very existence with storms and tsunamis and earthquakes, we need something onto which we can hold. We need something that's part of our insides, to which we can turn as an anchor that works in a variety of situations, is dependable, strong, and familiar enough to be at our fingertips. Carmen Hara, PhD, is at CarmenHara.com, CarmenHara.com. She's offering us achievable rules to live by in this lifetime, and she's with us here today on Full Power Living. She hails originally from Transylvania, and in her youth, she was fascinated with the teachings of the Kabbalah, numerology, and the remarkable ability of the mind to transcend linear time and predict the future. She's a woman of many talents. She was a renowned singer throughout Europe as a youth. She studied philosophy and psychology and first came to the United States on a singing contract, but realized that her course would be quite different, and so she got a PhD in hypnosis and alternative healing and another PhD in clinical psychology. As a metaphysical intuitive, Dr. Hara has made many successful predictions publicly and privately, and you can find out a lot about those on her website. And she's been featured in numerous magazines and newspapers, such as the New York Times, Vogue, the New York Magazine, Elle Magazine. She's been on numerous television programs, such as Good Morning America, the CBS Early Show, What's the Buzz on ABC, and a number of other things, including QVC with her own jewelry line. And so over the last 3 years, Dr. Hara has hosted her own radio shows on Sirius Satellite, Healthy Life Network, and Contact Talk Radio, where she currently hosts the show Decoding Your Destiny. She's also been featured on Barbara Walters' radio show. She's a best-selling author. I told you she did a lot of things. She's a best-selling author of 6 books, and we're talking about the 11 Eternal Principles today that's just been released by Random House. So, Dr. Carmen Hara, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I love your show and the idea that if we can control our emotion, we can actually change the way, the image we project in the world, and we can change the world all around. We can actually create a better world. I totally believe that your show is amazing.
Thank you. I saw that you have that in the 11 Eternal Principles about how important it is for us to deal with our emotions, and I appreciate that too. So, as I said in my introduction, we need solid, dependable anchors for this, for our times. And that's precisely what you offer in the 11 Eternal Principles, and you call them the divine rules as opposed to the man-made rules. So I'd like to know, what was your motivation for writing this particular book?
I think that's a great question. You know, everybody was talking in the last 3-4 years about the law of attraction, and everybody mesmerized how powerful this law is, but this is an ancient law that exists for thousands of years. And they call this law like the secret, like something that has been hidden from us for many, many years. And when we wake up to the realization how powerful the law is, everybody all over the globe was interested in. So this book became so sold everywhere and attracted all the attention and media. And I realized, wait a minute, this law of attraction is just only one ingredient. You can never write a symphony with one note or make a soup with only one ingredient. So you have to bring all the other ingredients. You have to think of all the other laws because they work together. They are the totality. They are the holiness. They complement each other. So how can you actually attract something in your life if you ignore the number one law of spirituality, which is the law of karma, the foundation of all the other laws? So I said there had to be 11 laws. There are many laws out there. And as I said, these laws, there's nothing new about them. They exist for thousands of years, exactly like the law of attraction for more than 2,000 years. These laws are just necessary in this time of our evolution when changes is happening, as you said. We sense it. The old institutions are crumbling. We don't know how to rebuild them, how to replace them. Religion and political extremists are on the rise globally. So people are like scared in so many ways. So bringing these laws, it just shows how perfect the divine world is. How if we live by the divine, we have nothing to be afraid. If we live by our man-made laws, which we do for thousands of years, we've created this world that is falling apart. And the truth of the matter is, it is really falling apart. I mean, we are, as we're coming closer to 2012, we're actually seeing things putting more stress on us. So we have to stop lying that life is getting better 2010 or 2011, because the reason it's not getting better is that we have to come together. We have to acknowledge this is a turning point in our consciousness. We have to acknowledge this is the end of an era. We have to acknowledge this is the beginning of a new age. And we have to understand cosmologically, spiritually, this phenomena in order to be okay with this and be part of it and help humanity make this transition to a different life, and which in actuality it's a better life. So I said writing this 11 principle, 11 because it's the era of enlightenment, 11 because 11 is a number that is a master number, is superior to the other numbers. 11 because it's the end of times, the end of chronology, the end of physics, the end of calendars. 11 because we have the era of Aquarius, which is in 11 house in astrology. 11 because we have a president in the White House whose numerology is 11. Even his wife and his running mate, they all number 11s according to numerology. So are all the teachers of the world. So we have to comprehend the power of enlightenment, the power of the new beginning, and the fact that we have to stop being afraid, stop going to these movies about 2012 and the doomsday, and acknowledge that the reason this world is the way it is, it's because of our man-made laws that can never fix our problem. They are inferior to the laws of the divine. And the moment we infuse the divine laws in our life, we will see that transition happening smoothly. And the fear, kind of talking about emotions, because your show is all about emotions, and one of the worst emotions, me as a psychologist, I can tell you, is fear. And boy, are we afraid, you know. We are afraid in a big way. But we have to stop, as I said, being afraid, acknowledge that we are into it all together. We are together, you know. We entering this time of tremendous upheaval, you know. As we near 2012, you know, this is the date of the ancient Maya calendar being the end of the 26th century thousands cycle. But every other ancient civilization points towards this time in our evolution. What they knew exactly when the era of the Kali Yuga is going to end and when the Golden Yuga is going to start, and that's exactly when this is happening. But many things are going to happen. I can talk for hours and hours how the world is going to change at every level, from the things that are happening in terms of the reaction of Mother Earth with earthquakes. I predicted actually the earthquake that just happened in Haiti. I predicted sitting on December 16th launching my book. I said 2010 starts with an earthquake, which is 7 in magnitude. And we'll see that this year is the year of earthquakes, tornadoes, and the response of Mother Earth is just huge, incredible. We don't even know what to do about it because there's not too much we can do other than collectively stick together and acknowledge this is something that is meant to happen, but it's for our own good. Now, what's going to happen, the whole financial system is going to collapse because it has to collapse because it proves not to be good. Any of you listening, can you actually trust your banks? Can you trust your pension? Can you trust your jobs? Can you trust the stock market? You can't. Everything is ups and down. It's going underneath the surface. You see that everything is chaotic. Now, in science, Nietzsche used to say, if you want to see evolution, you have to go through chaos. This is the way progress happens. So in order for us to move forward and step into that new phase in our evolution, which only starts in 2033, when we reach that point, that then we really see the transformation being there in a big way. But we're in transition. So the transition, in order to happen, this entire collapse of the system has to happen. And we have to be okay with that, acknowledge it, be part of it, and even celebrate it, because the time to come is a so much better time. In order to make people feel confident, they have to understand that doomsday doesn't exist. The end of the world is just a misinterpretation of the end of an era. So this is not the end of the world. So
I wanted to say something about that, because you, like I, mm-hmm. you're a therapist, and in my work, I have come across something I've learned to call the identity crisis process, which is a description of the very process of falling apart that we do as individuals in order to mm-hmm. make change. And I think what you're describing is the same principle or the same process done on a larger scale. It involves falling apart, not being able to hold on to anything that we held on to make sense before, going through a lot of emotional turmoil because we've held on to emotions, we need to cleanse ourselves, having an empty period, and then rebuilding.
Totally. What you did was amazing. You took everything, you know, and reported to an individual. It's exactly like you go, okay, I'm going through a crisis because I'm going through a divorce, you know.
Yes.
So my life is falling apart. So globally, if you think of what's happening, and if you think of the totality that we are, because the number one law of the universe is actually the law of totality, if you think that we are one together in this, you know, and this is happening to the collective mind of the planet going through this crisis, then what you say is just perfect, and it just describes everything we're trying to apply globally.
Yes, and the big thing, I agree with you, the big thing that we need to remember is this law of totality. Let me just list off the laws that you consider in the 11 eternal principles. Mm-hmm. There's the law of totality, karma, wisdom, love, harmony, abundance, attraction, evolution, manifestation, dharma, and infinite possibilities. And you say that this is not an exhaustive list, but you say that totality is of primary importance. And tell us why that is.
Well, I really believe that this principle, you know, they exist, as I said, for so many years. But now we have to kind of bring them together because we have to start relying on them. The moment, what's missing, for instance, talking about these laws and the fact that we're not using it, is we don't value wisdom. We don't value wisdom is knowing that what you can change and we cannot change, and accept the limitation of this reality, and also using suffering as a tool for learning about yourself and growing spiritually. And that's what's missing in the world today. We value more knowledge over wisdom. You know, and the moment you start applying wisdom, then you're calmer about it. Then you accept that this is what you have to go through. And you don't make such a big deal out of it, and you understand the way this is going to happen to you. You understand the process. So, as I said, these laws exist forever, but we have to kind of bring them back. It's bringing them back and living by them. It's what's going to make life, the transition easier and our life easier. Because in our real world, Eileen, as you know very well, it's not easy to see that you're losing your home, that you can't pay your mortgage, that there's no money, that your bank, you don't know what's going to happen to you, that you lost all the money in the market. So when in the real world you see all of these financial problems and people going apart from each other because of their, they can't control their living, you know, when you see that way, then you see, well, where's the law of attraction? Why did I do something wrong to deserve it? Where is God? When in fact, more than ever, you have to be strong this time, and you have to acknowledge that this is for a reason. And start seeing the reason and using these laws, I think, is key for survival. And I also think, you know what, my vision of the future is that as we actually go in 2012, and by the way, December 21st, 2012, if you reduce those numbers to a single digit, equals an 11. So that is another proof that we're entering the era of enlightenment. And so the end, the zero time, the end of the calendars, when the compass will point south instead of north, clearly says that something extraordinary is happening in our level of perception, actually do something to us in terms of the real life on Earth. I kind of believe that the satellites will be affected, so probably we're not going to have cellulars. They might not work. We might have trouble watching television. We might have our banks, in my opinion, will collapse. So we'll have a different financial system, a different monetary system. And that's for our own good. Because if you think that the stock market and the banks, you know, create so much suffering at the monetary level in the world. So we need something different. We need something new. We need something better. And if you go back 200 years ago, if you go back 200 years ago by the time of the 20-something, by the time of Declaration of the Independence, if you go back by the time we didn't have paper money, we didn't have banks, we didn't have any of the system today, we didn't have electricity in our homes, and we survived. So it's possible that in so many ways, because of this black hole and the alignment, for a period of time, that can be 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years, we might go into going back in time. I mean, imagine a world that you don't go to the bank because the whole system, if there's no electricity, you know, might probably collapse. So this is just envisioning where the world can go based on something that in the cosmos will actually really happen. In the physical reality, this is something that we'll have to be ready to experience and get ready to experience. And it's going to be tough because we got used to cellulars, we got used to all these electronics. But in the end, we'll survive this. And then there's, as I said, raising the level of vibration, because this shift in the cosmos, this change is actually raising the level of awareness. We will be seeing, vibrating at a different level, like using more the percentage of the brain. And that comes with so many changes at the emotional level, because as you know very well, we need time to use the cortex. We use first our emotion, the hypothalamus. So we use first our feelings to interpret things. But the moment we process them, our perception of the world changes, talking about the concept of your soul.
You know, I want to go more deep. I want to go more deeply into that in our next section, but it's time for us to take a break right now. So this is Full Power Living, and you will be, I'm going to say this again. This is Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them. Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
All right, we're back on Full Power Living, talking today with Dr. Carmen Hara, clinical psychologist and intuitive, about the message and wisdom of her latest book, The 11 Eternal Principles. And let me remind you that her website is carmenhara.com, that's carmenhara.com, and it's a very interesting website you might enjoy because Dr. Hara has done made music. She's got her music albums there. She has some specially designed jewelry that emphasizes some of the principles that she's talking about, some of the eternal symbols. She's got her 6 books listed there and also predictions for 2010. And so I really urge you to check out her website and also her show at contacttalkradio.com. So now, before our break, Dr. Hara, we were starting to look at emotions, and you know, our emotions get stirred up with all of these changes happening. And I'm very grateful to you for laying out what kinds of changes we can expect. I know I've talked with several people who are just panicked about what would happen in 2012, and I keep saying, please don't watch the movies, don't listen to all the hype. It's not that kind of a change. You know, it's a more internal change. So we can get ready for the change emotionally, in terms of our balance and so on, by teaching ourselves and learning what these principles are and how to live by them. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And then we should all acknowledge that all of humanity is undergoing, and this is a monumental transformation in the evolution of the consciousness. So, and we should all stick together to the rays of awareness and acknowledge your fear and create a feeling of hope, talking about emotion. Replace that emotion of fearing with the emotion of hope and acknowledge that this is necessary. It's a necessary transition.
Wait a minute. How do you do that? Whenever you're in these tumultuous times and you don't have enough money coming in and you're concerned about the future, how do you replace fear with hope?
Because, and that's one of the reasons I think that people pray. That's one of the reasons that we believe that there's God out there, there's a divine force, and that we are all kids of God, and that we should never be afraid that we will be abandoned by this divine, perfect force that is almost like helping us, or sometimes even controlling the problems that are happening. I always believe that this universe is controlled from above in a positive way. So if you start believing that you shouldn't be scared, that fear is paralyzing you, is raising the level of your adrenaline, is making your heart speed, it's causing physical damage. When you start praying, you bring that hope in, and you have to tell yourself, "I'm going to be okay." And you have to tell yourself, "Nothing bad is going to happen to you," and that humanity went through this changes and transformation through centuries, and this is going to be a good one. You always have to, talking about attracting things in your life, you always have to think and manifest the good. Or, as you know very well, It's all in the mind, what you think you become.
Well,
so it all depends the way we think. So if we think in a positive way, then we can definitely calm ourselves and think of hope every day instead of thinking of panicking or just being scared because inevitably you want to see the movie because everybody's talking about or listening to the news on television, which many, many times are so negative. So try to kind of go within yourself and raise that perception that everything is good and believe that you can apply your wisdom. You actually are one with the world, and the world is not going anywhere. And this is a phase, and it's for our own good, and you will survive. So, what you think is who you are, and start thinking in the good way, putting the hope up there, a message of hope. Try to do some good. Reach out to each other. Find common ground. You know, people they in conflict every day, saying, I'm right, you're wrong. We have to go beyond this mentality. That, I mean, the wrong mentality of the I'm right, you're wrong, the wrong mentality of the blue state, the red state, this is wrong. We have to find peaceful intention in interacting with each other. We have to stop believing.
So one of the things that strikes me is it reminds me of a story, an experience I had many years ago. When I got together with my soon-to-be ex-husband, and I was making love with him, and I had the strong impression that he had been with another woman. And mm-hmm. I asked him, and he told me the truth. And my head started going off, you know, what is she like, why, you know, blah, 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 blah. And at that moment, I realized that I had a choice. I could either get concerned about what he'd done somewhere else with somebody else, or I could stay in the moment and get what I wanted out of life. And it seems to me that that story is illustrative of what we need to do now. We can either stay in our fear, and we know where that will go, or we can make the choice of looking at something more positive and just considering the possibility that we'll be okay.
Well, this is an amazing example. So you actually had all the reason to react. You had all the reason to judge him. You had all the reason to cut the cord, but you decided in a way to forgive, you know, and project this into the future and see the good in it. And I think you did very well, because I think you were able to fulfill something in this relationship. And I think that that experience was teaching you something, was teaching him something. And that happens to us every day, you know. In so many ways, we are taught there are lessons to learn. But this is definitely a big one. And as you said it very well, we can choose to project the good and, you know, and see that there's future out there, and that's a brighter future. And it's up to us. I think it's within ourselves to choose mm-hmm. the good path versus the bad one.
Yes, and we have a question from somebody on the chat here.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I associate our current human tendency to rely on mental capacities with independence, and with my heart awakening, I'm instead drawn to interdependence. Could Carmen speak to this in relation to our awakening as a human life stream and the future that you see?
That's really, you know, that this is a very philosophical, but in the same down-to-earth way to look at life. I really believe that many people feel this way, and many people want to feel that they can really be part of the transformation, and in fact, they really are, because when you look around, you can see that we are separated creatures, you know, we separated bodies, minds, and personalities, and lifestyle. But it's exactly like if you go into a forest and you look at only one tree, and then you miss the diversity of the entire ecosystem. So I think that if you realize that we are all part of that big forest, we are all part of the same system, and then we are so much alike in so many ways, and the separation is just an illusion. And we have to kind of stop focusing on our separateness and on our mortal experiences and get back to our birthright, that we are here to enjoy happiness and serenity and well-being, that we are immortal soul and we are all part of the sacred fabric of all creation, so we are holy. The moment you think that, you get empowered, then there is no separation, then there's no such thing like a dependency, there's no such thing as negative emotions. They all like fade away, you know, and then you're in a state of control and a state, you're in the comfort zone. You can, nobody should ever get us out of that state of mind. The outer world cannot actually disturb the inner world, in fact, because the inner world is the most powerful. So tap into within you, you know, and create that projection, that manifestation of the world of your dream, even if it looks like the outside world talks about a catastrophe or a collapse. If your inner world is in control, then everything else can be in control. And you have choices, and you have, and it's up to you whatever world you are choosing to live in. So I really believe that it's all about acknowledging this, and it's all about having the strength to apply it. And then the feeling is amazing. I have no fear whatsoever of anything happening bad to us or to me or to anybody.
I notice that in myself, too, and I've been working on emotional balance, my way of going about it, and living with the principles that you're talking about. But I wanted to ask you something. Yesterday I was having a conversation with a person whose life was not going well. He has a retail business and purchases are way down. He was aware of getting older. He wasn't as strong, couldn't work as hard. His brother and his nieces and nephews were on the verge of being evicted, and he was worried about that. And I've known this person a long time, and I suggested to him working to bring himself more in alignment with principle. And he told me in no uncertain terms that it would make no difference to do that, because the real problem was putting food on the table today, not doing some pie-in-the-sky thing for the distant future. And I'm curious about how you would respond to such a reaction.
Well, a lot of people can say that. This is not a unique case. There are too many cases like this when people left and right, you know, you see those people who, like I look at my neighbors, they have no health care, you know. How can I be okay if they're in so much trouble? You know, I look at across the street, everywhere here in Florida, I see foreclosure. People cannot pay their mortgages. People have no money in the bank. So here I am talking about a principle and what a beautiful world tomorrow will be. But in this real world, everything seems totally opposite. So then the question is, how can we actually break through? Is that having the vision and knowing that this is just a test, this is temporary, and you don't feed into this negativity. You say, whatever it is, I will find ways, you know, and becoming proactive and finding ways to break through. And you know what? I was born in Transylvania, in the middle of nowhere, in Romania, during Ceausescu, the worst regime of all. We had no food on the table. We had no running water. We had nothing. And I knew that it's up to me to find the creative energy within myself and to survive. I came to America. I had, I think, probably $30-$40 to my name. That's all I had. I had no place to live. I had nothing, you know. And I made everything possible. I knew that there's a force in me, and I know it's a force in all of us, because as I said, we're all the same. There's no such thing that one is better than the other, or we are one is more superior. No, we're all the same. But we have extraordinary resources. And when something like that, when the universe is testing you that way, you go inward and find other sources to change your career, to make, and don't be afraid of money, because money is just it's a tool. It's like that's why many times we associate money with a negative force of creating this separation and creating the pain and the suffering. And that's one of the reasons that the years to come, the whole idea of money will change in an amazing way. That's why I said for years we might not have banks and stock market and the money that you know, and will come under one monetary monetary system that will be completely different, but will create a lot of equilibrium. So everybody will actually be able to survive, but not in the same system that is now.
Okay.
So
I have another question from somebody on the chat who says, mm-hmm. I choose to live in the connected world, but I worry about how I feel less and less connected and more impatient with the activities around me now. And this regenerates a feeling of separation. What to do?
Well, that's exactly. You have to create an atmosphere of peace around you. You know? And you have to... say you must be the change you want to see in the world, you know. So get yourself involved in this big change. Do something about it. It's going to make you feel so powerful. It's going to resonate. It's going to make and understand the process in itself, because people don't understand this process. They continue to be caught in this conflict, you know, between the inner world and the outer world. So never be discouraged, even if you know what I mean, you feel like your life is falling apart. It's just an illusion of things, and separation, such things as separation don't exist. So we have to stick together. I said that the reason of this book and the reason of the whole idea of the totality and holiness is that if we stick together, if we survive this difficult moment, then these problems that were created for thousands of years by us, because the monetary system is a man-made law. The suffering is man-made law. The imprisonment is man-made law. The judging is man-made. The killing is man-made. The physical stuff, everything is made by us, is not up to the divine world. The divine world doesn't want us to have banks where someone has a million and some other people can hardly survive. These discrepancies have to kind of go away. I might sound probably too idealistic or whatever, too far in the future, but I think that the future I'm talking about is so close. It's so close. I think in 2012, what we're going to see at the end of 2012, beginning of 2013, you might see that you're not going to have a bank account. You might see that nobody will have a bank account. So then there's not going to be things like rich and poor anymore. Or I have and you don't have. Look at Haiti, how people struggled there, how many they died, how they had no medical care. That's what we have to see. That's what we have to learn. We have to help. We have to be out there. We have to create a world that is, as you said, not only fair, but in mental balance. This world is totally out of balance when it comes to fairness, emotion, justice, and everything. And how can we be living in paradise when we are so selfish and live in our own corner and we think that if I'm okay, who cares about the rest of the world? But if we all start to think differently, that we have to integrate, that there's no things as separation, we can definitely make a huge difference one step at a time. And I really believe that the force outside us will make everything possible that we have to wake up and do something to help each other and create finally a peaceful world, because we go into the golden yuga according to the ancient teaching. We go into an era of fulfillment, of era of gold, meaning peace, satisfaction. I think we had times of golden era in Atlantis. I think we have golden era in Lemuria. Anytime at the beginning of the cosmic year, in the middle of the cosmic year, which is 26,000 years, there were different times, better times. We have no recollection of those moments, but I tell you, that's where the world is going. I think when Edgar Cayce talks about New Atlantis, he refers to the next 6 to 7, almost 10,000 era of peace, when we're going to live forever, and when we're not going to have the diseases that we see today, when there's no war, there's no such things as weapon. Go and see Avatar, the movie. It has an amazing message. It says, we have to stop killing each other.
Yes. You know, we also have to take a break right here. So I'm your host, Eileen Dillon. And Dr. Haro, when we return, I would like to ask you some more in the line of predictions and how the eternal principles apply to some of our leaders and people that we talk about in the world.
Sure.
Good. So stay tuned for more with our guest, Dr. Carmen Haro, author of the 11 Eternal Principles. We'll be right back.
to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful, it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Hi, welcome back to Full Power Living. You know, we're getting popular with authors and thinkers who want to reach a thinking and caring audience like you. And so we have also an opportunity on this show to go more deeply into people's topic than the usual media sound bites. So it turns out we're booked for the first half of 2010 with an incredible list of guests, such as Dr. Hara today. Look on our radio show at radio show page on emotionalpro.com to see the list. Next week we're going to be talking with Rick Hansen, psychologist, about Buddha's brain, in which he explores how people born with an ordinary brain can come to do extraordinary things, including changing the world. We also have upcoming Ariane de Bonvoisin, who is author of The First 30 Days, about how to go through change more easily. We have Chopra Center Medical Director David Simon discussing health. We have Marcy Shymoff, who is co-author of several Chicken Soup for the Soul books. She's going to explore happiness with us with her book, Happy for No Reason. And we have actress Mariel Hemingway helping us to stay healthy as we explore Mariel's Kitchen with her. So you can download our shows from iTunes or from our archives here at emotionalpro.com. And we can put you on our notification list if you like. Write me at Eileen, I-L-E-N-E, at emotionalpro.com. So please be with us and invite your friends and family as we continue our quest to awaken the world to the power and importance of human emotions. Our guest today is Dr. Carmen Hara, author of The 11 Eternal Principles. You can find out more about her by visiting carmenhara.com. CarmenHara.com. Okay, so Dr. Hara, before we stopped, I want to ask you some things, questions about people like President Obama and Sarah Palin and various experiences that we're having right now. Let's start with Sarah Palin. Such an interesting phenomena, and you talk about the law of karma. Do you have an insight into what her karmic function is for us today?
It's interesting that I predicted Sarah Palin in 2003 when a journalist from Daily News came to me and he was laughing, saying, okay, so forget about 2004 election. What do you see in 2008? And actually, if you go to my site and you click on the Daily News, you can read my article saying, okay, in 2008, and that was 5 years before the election, I said, we're going to see big-time Hillary Clinton running for presidency. I wonder whether the Secretary of State was even thinking so clearly in 2003 to run in 2008. But I said, there is a woman, a Republican woman, much younger than her, coming out of the blue in this election. And there's a reason for this woman to be out there. And the reason is that as we are going in 2012 and in the years to come, the female energy comes back in power. So you see actually women doing things that 80 years ago couldn't even be imagined, you know. So what we are seeing in how much the consciousness changed in less than 100 years when it comes to the power of the women, I think that's actually the real. And actually, I see Sarah Palin probably even running for presidency again in 2012 on her own. Now, remember 2012, what a significant year that is, you know. And I was on The View and I said, we're not going to see President Obama in 2012. And then I remember Barbara Walters' face, that almost her jaws dropped and said, what is this woman talking about? Live on The View, you know. So it's talking about Sarah Palin. So there's a reason, and she's just that female energy, the woman with five kids, the woman that, you know, she has her own principle. Not that she will win in 2012, I don't think so, but I think the female energy, she's just that kind of a female power being out there. And we're fascinating with the idea of women in power, and that's why the fascination also with Hillary Clinton and the fact that she did so well during the election, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about President Obama? He took on an enormous job and seemed to hit the ground running and told everybody it was going to be an uphill battle, and yet, at least from my perception, he seems to be being barraged with people holding him responsible for all the things and wanting him to straighten them out, and he's being a normal human being. He's not doing everything perfectly. What can you tell us about him and where we're going with him?
Well, you know what's interesting about him? I think his intention is very good. I think he realized that this is going to be a very difficult task for him. I think the whole idea of change, people resonate with change because we see change everywhere around us. So people resonate that he represented that change. But the change is us. And no president can actually change. We have to change together. Here's again, we're going back to the law of totality. We have to be part of the change. One single person, and what we are learning with him is that in the years to come, I don't know if it's 20, 30, 40 years from now, we may, and that's a big prediction, but only time will prove that is right. It's exactly like predicting 80 years ago we're going to have women running for presidency when they didn't even have the right to vote. But I don't think we're going to have presidents in the future. I think humanity will change at the degree that it is unimaginable so far. Like, as I said, money is an artificial instrument of acquiring power and control. It's just an illusion in that paper, in that artificial computer machine. It's the illusion of money. Money as a form of power will also go away. So are the whole idea of presidency established more than 200 years ago. So, but coming to President Obama, he planted some seeds in 2009, and whatever seeds he planted will lead actually to some crisis. My prediction about this year for him and next year is not so positive, because I said it even on The View, he will have a lot of difficulties in the White House, you know, with the decision, reevaluating, and people are not flexible. People, and it's again that mentality that you are wrong and I am right, and unless we go away with that, so there's, for him it's a crisis. And using the law of wisdom, you know, if you ascend too quick to a favor, you might fall. So, and if you look into his chart, there's nothing good there, so we're not going there. But the fact of the matter is that this year and next year are very tough for him, and I personally don't see him running in 2012. I continue with this prediction because I know it's going to be true. What I think is going to be good is that some leaders of the world during 2010 and 11 will come together And then we'll see some serious progress all over the globe in solving all these financial crises, because this is not about America. The whole world is falling apart when it comes to the financial institutions. So this is something that this is good. And I think that Obama will want to integrate as a president and as the leader of America into this togetherness about solving the global financial problem. And the economy is not getting any better. We have to see the truth. It might not get it better till 2018. It will take a while. And I think he just inherited a very bad situation. I think his intention is good, but nobody's helping him. So this time is very critical for him, and we'll see this more in April and October of 2010.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Carmen Hara, you are clearly a woman of many talents in service to your fellow human beings in our earth, and I really appreciate that about you. And I want to thank you for accepting your Dharma and bringing all your capabilities to the task and for giving us the 11 eternal principles. Unfortunately, we're going to have to stop now, and I hope you will come and I see that you have a new book in the works. People can find that on your website, carmenhara.com. But I want to thank you for being with us here today on Full Power Living. I appreciate very much your insights and your wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much. And I want people to know they all have great talents. We all are the same. We all are together in this. And if we stick together and love each other and apply the law of love, the law of wisdom, and all the laws of the universe, we'll definitely go into transition to that beautiful world that is out there for us.
I will hold that in my heart. Thank you. Okay. Be sure to join us every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We're going to continue our tradition on Full Power Living of bringing you the most cutting-edge thinkers and helpers on the planet, addressing the power of emotion in our lives. Next week, we've got Buddha's Brain with neuropsychologist Rick Hansen. And thank you, Paul Johnson, our supportive and talented producer at Fresh Talk Media. Until next time, I'm your host, Heidi Dillon, thanking you for listening and reminding you to pay attention to what you want to become, not what you want to overcome.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.